We invite you to open up your Bibles as we join Pastor Jin Lau for today's message.
Almost to this day, five years ago, January 9, 2011, we launched Heart of Faith, and it was the grand opening of this church at D Avenue National City Middle School. And that was the culmination of a series which we call What Do You Do When Life Does Not Make Sense? Many of you were there. Many of you can attest how God has been so faithful. It was the culmination of that series, but it was also the beginning of an exciting journey for us as a church family. Many things have changed since then, and I'm sure for those of you who have journeyed with us since then, you know that many things have changed, but there are also some things that have not changed. One of the reasons why I chose to have this series is because when we were thinking of launching Heart of Faith Church, my wife, June, was diagnosed with cancer, some of you know that, in 2010. And today, we continue to fight that battle. That breast cancer has recurred in her lungs, and I thank you all for praying and journeying with us. It is such a comfort to know that I'm not alone in this journey and that you are all with me, and it just gives me strength. And just a quick update on June. The oncologist wanted her to avail of some of the clinical trials because the newer drugs are more potent, more effective, but she's not eligible for that. But she found a drug that can help June potentially shrink the cancer without an adverse effect on her. And so let's pray that this drug, it's called Femara, I think that's the name of the brand name. Let's pray that it would really work on June. And I appreciate your prayers for her. Some things have not changed. One of the things that have not changed is when we had this series, we went on a character study. And those of you who were there, you remember who we studied, the character? We studied the life of Joseph. The life of Joseph. In Joseph's life is found towards the end of Genesis. It was easy for me to identify with Joseph, not because he was young and good-looking. That was a joke. It's easy for me to identify with Joseph because of all the trials and the temptations that he had to go through. And now we're going to have another character study, and it's still in the book of Genesis. I think it's very, very interesting as well, and this is going to be the life of Abraham. I'm beginning also, as I study, and beginning to be more excited, I'm beginning to identify with Abraham because my sons call me old man, and Abraham would insist that he's old. But we would see later that God says, maybe you are, but I can still do something with you. So let me share with you some reasons why I think the life of Abraham is very, very interesting. First of all, this is not in your outline. By the way, you have an outline there, lots of blanks. You feel free to use those blanks to write down some of the highlights. I think there are reasons, very exciting reasons. First, historically, Abraham is considered, revered to be the father of faith. Did you know that 60% of the world population today traces back to Abraham as their spiritual father? They consider Abraham to be the origin, the father of their faith. Who are these people? The Jews, correct. Judaism traces back to Abraham, of course. Who else? Islam, yes. They trace back to Abraham through Ishmael because of the Arab people. Who else? The Christians, of course. 60%, and there are smaller groups, the Baha'i and other smaller groups. 60% of today's population traces back to Abraham as their spiritual father. Isn't that interesting? Now, biblically, this is another reason why I think it's exciting to study Abraham. Biblically speaking, there is a substantial textual coverage. What does that mean? There is a lot in the Bible that talks about Abraham. the book of Genesis alone, which we would be studying, it covers about 2,000 years. First, 1 to 11, it's just going through Adam and Eve, and then suddenly it became so fast from generations to generations, 20 generations actually. And then suddenly at chapter 11 to chapter 12, suddenly it's just coming to a stop. It stops. The author of Genesis stops to focus on one person, Abraham. So from 12 towards the last, well, 11 chapters would be focused on Abraham, and then the rest of the book of Genesis would be about Abraham's family. And so it's so focused. You would think that there's something why the book of Genesis, 50 chapters, would focus so much on Abraham. In the entire book of the Bible, 311 times Abraham was mentioned. 74 of that is in the New Testament, 2,000 years after Abraham existed. They still continue to talk about Abraham. In the Hall of Faith, some of us know that there's a chapter in the Bible called Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. They would say, by faith Enoch, by faith Moses, by faith they did everything. Moses had 5 verses in the Hall of Faith. You know how many verses for Abraham? 12 verses for Abraham. Jesus himself spoke about Abraham in John chapter 8. And Jesus says, Abraham was looking and searching for me. So Abraham saw Jesus. Because Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And that's why the Jews wanted to kill Jesus. Whoa, how can you be? You're not even older than 50 years old. And so they wanted to stone Jesus. But Jesus spoke about Abraham. And so I think there's something for us to learn. Historically, biblically, characteristically, the character of Abraham is so interesting because while he's revered to be the father of faith, he was not always a faithful follower of Christ, of God. He was a struggling follower. Are you struggling? I am. And if I am struggling, I can identify with that because Abraham's life, as portrayed in the Bible, is so real. He is not a picture of a perfect hero. He's a picture of a flawed follower, which we would see later. It's all there. Warts, pimples, and all brokenness of Abraham, written and recorded in God's word. And because of that, it encourages me that this person is not a perfect follower of Christ. He is not a hero, a superhero. He is flawed. He is broken. And therefore, I can identify with that. It encourages me because a person like Abraham can be used by God in ways far beyond our imagination. So do you think a person like Abraham, he was born, by the way, in the early Bronze Age. Do you think a person that old can be relevant to us today in 2016? Absolutely. He can be so relevant for us. There is a fourth reason, which I did not put down here. A personal reason. You know who's the most famous bearer of this name? Lincoln, yes. The most famous bearer of this name happens to be one of the best presidents this country ever had. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was the one who led the nation through the bloody Civil War. Just tracing back history here. Come on, we need to scratch our heads here again and dig some of the historical background of the country. But he was used to lead the nation during the bloody war. He was the one who abolished slavery. He was the one who strengthened the federal government. He was the one who modernized the economy. You and I have pictures of Abraham. Describe to me the picture. Abraham's. How would you describe Abraham in your words? Beard and a. Yeah, we all have pictures of that. But my favorite picture is this. As I was preparing, I came across when my son was only in second grade. He was Abraham Lincoln, and I thought, wow, he had an Asian background after all. That's why it's my favorite. Well, Abraham, the broken, rescued. And I'd like to call him an unlikely choice. Why? Why is Abraham the unlikely choice? Now, we have had the privilege of revisiting the first few chapters of Genesis when we went through marriage, gospel, sex in the gospel. We can remember that in the beginning, God created everything, right? He created everything, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the birds, the fish, the animals, and finally, humans. And they were all good. In fact, God's word says it's very good. Until chapter 3, what happens there? When that slithering serpent came and deceived Adam and Eve, and they chose to rebel against God, and they ate the fruit that they weren't supposed to eat. After that, everything changed. Literally, everything changed. And so after that, we would see domestic violence, brother killing another brother. That's in God's word. Domestic violence, after all, is not new. It's been there from the very start. It's been a struggle. People have been struggling. There's been rape. There has been incest. There's been lots of crazy things, far more than we can imagine. And man has become corrupt and hopelessly, helplessly corrupt at that. So everything changed. And so God wiped everything out except for one man and his family. Who was that? Noah. And so from Noah, there was supposed to be a new beginning. But then again, after Noah, there was another cycle of sin and corruption. And God could have just abandoned humanity to their own self-destructive ways, our own self-destructive ways. But God instead, in his grace, listen to this, he chose to redeem mankind. And his plan to redeem mankind is starting by choosing one person. And you guess it right. Abraham. We know him as Abraham, but he was born Abram. And we will talk about that name. So please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis is the very first book of the Bible. Okay, it's the very first book, and it's good for us to, if you need to use table of contents, that's fine. Praise God for table of contents. But it's the very first book of the Bible. And it helps us just to find where we need to be. Genesis chapter 11, starting with verse 27. And I'd like to just use some of the words here, the names, the proper nouns, according to, as much as possible, according to the original Hebrew pronunciation, okay, not the Americanized one. Let's start with verse 27. This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur, or some others in the Hebrew, they would really say a very strong Ur. That's Ur, like Uriel. Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, both of Milcah, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. If that's your Bible, I would encourage you underline, highlight, encircle. Sarai was barren. She had no children. We would be coming back to that. Verse 31, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Can we show the map very quickly? This is a map of Abram and his family's journey. We'll see if it comes out. There it goes. So they were from Ur. This would be the modern day Iraq. Okay? And we would see Babylon. We just finished thriving in Babylon there. So they would do that, and they are going to travel to Canaan. By this time, Abraham did not know where he was going, but they were heading that way. They cannot cross this way because of the very dry desert. And so in the ancient civilization, this is called the Fertile Crescent. This is where people thrive. And there are places for them to find water and vegetation. That's why they would go this way instead of going straight. And they ended up there in Haran. And we would continue to visit that map later on. But why is Abram, we will use that name now, Abram, why was he an unlikely choice? He is an unlikely choice because first, he had an O background. Why would I say O? O is something I think it's more non-offensive, politically correct way of expressing your response when something is perhaps not pleasant and you're not so sure. For instance, if your teenager comes to introduce, "Mom and Dad, I want you to meet my friend." Oh, right? You have something in your nose. Oh. Or if your parents say, "Kids, we won't be having internet Wi-Fi anymore at home." Oh, that's not a different oh, right? Or, "Sorry, I scratched your new car." Oh. If we were there when God chose Abram for the redemption of the entire human race, we would have said, oh. Let's think about this. If you are a hiring person in your work and you need somebody to do a very, very important job, I think you and I would choose somebody who is really good, young, very promising, right? But Abraham is none of this. That's why we would say, oh, oh. Why do I say he had an O background first? Abraham. The name Abraham means the father is exalted. The father is exalted. Now, this father is not God the Father. What was Abraham's nationality? Anyone? That's a trick question, right? He is from Mesopotamia. So Mesopotamia is known as idol worshippers. The name Father is exalted does not refer to the Father God that we know. It's not referring to Yahweh, not referring to the Father of Israel. In fact, this name, Father, refers to one of the gods. They have multitudes of gods there in Mesopotamia. They are the capital of idol worshiping. And one of the gods' name, one of the lead gods' name is Sin. S-I-N, interestingly enough, but Mesopotamia is known for this one, Ziggurat, you know that. It could be inspired by the Tower of Babel, and they are making a name for themselves. They want to be known. They are trying to, this is a place where they worship God. But the next picture here is taken from the scroll. This is most likely a depiction of the ruler of Mesopotamia, and that moon there is the god, moon god, called Sin, and that spelling is S-I-N, interestingly enough. Abram's name most likely was a reference to that god, because this god is called the Lord of Heaven, Creator of Heaven, the Divine Creator. How can we say that they were idol worshippers? I'd like for you to take a look at the screen. Joshua 24, towards the end of this book, Joshua, remember, he was used by God to carry out Israel into the promised land. And as Joshua defeated and conquered everybody there, Joshua is telling the people now of Israel, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including, there you go, Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, leave beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods, not the God of Israel today. They were idol worshippers. Think about it. If you were to choose a person to carry out God's mission, wouldn't you choose a faithful one already? A person who is God-loving? But this person is so opposite. This one is not one who worships God, does not believe in God at all. what would make God choose Abraham? We cannot answer that in the sight of eternity. It was an act of pure grace that God chose to dip his hand into this idolatrous hole and chose Abraham out of the many people that he may use to redeem mankind. So Abraham was idol worshiper. That's the reason why I said he has an O background. Secondly, he had no future. I mentioned to you to highlight that Sarai, his wife, was barren. And again, when you are the hiring person, you would want this person to be entangled, this person to just be able to focus on the job, right? But Abraham had no children. You know what that meant? If they had no children, that's the end of their line. They don't have anything anymore. I mentioned here at this church that children, especially sons, they are the life insurance, the medical insurance, the 401k, the retirement, all lumped in one. Children, the kids. And so Abraham here would have been so concerned about how will I live when I grow old. But because he had no children, he had no future. That's the end of the line of Abraham. But Abraham was used by God. So when God chose Abraham, it's like hiring a person who had disability. Obvious ones. That's crazy in today's world. So he's an unlikely choice because he had an O background. He's an unlikely choice because, secondly, in your outline, because God gave him an out-of-this-world invitation. Why do I say that? An out-of-this-world invitation. Let's continue to read chapter 12 of Genesis. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. I think that is out of this world. Why? Because Abraham did nothing, and there was nothing in him to deserve God's favor. But as I read this, the Lord said to Abraham, the very first word that God says to Abraham, what? What was the very first word? Leave. For some of us, like me, that's all I need to hear. Leave. Leave. Because for some of us, we have been carrying out so many things in our lives, baggages for that matter. And God says, leave. We have been in darkness. We have been involved in dark deeds. We have been in relationships that we're not supposed to be. We have been in practices that we're not supposed to be. Today, in 2016, you continue to be doing the same things over and over again. The cycle of sin and corruption, God says, leave. Leave. And maybe that's all the message that we need to hear today. Leave. If you want to be a follower of God, leave. God said, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household. Amazing. God's first word to Abraham, leave. But then God follows it with an amazing promise. I will make you into a great nation. Why did God call Abraham again? Grace, nothing else. It's act of pure grace. I don't know. I think God, I have an explanation later of if there was a reason why God chose Abraham, we will explore later. But it was from God's side, it was an act of pure grace. But I'd like for us to continue here in verses 4 and 5 to see how Abraham followed God. And I would call him the flawed follower, as I have mentioned already. He wasn't always faithful. Verse 4. How did Abram respond? So Abram left, as the Lord had told him. And Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Let's pause there. Maybe we will stop there in verse 4. Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Is there something wrong with that? Who is Lot? His nephew. Lot was the son of Haran, his brother. Lot was his nephew, his own blood relative. Is there something wrong with taking the nephew with him? He's saying, my nephew has lost his dad. I'm now his dad. I'm taking care of this boy. This boy and I, we're together. But God says in verse 1, leave. Leave. Leave your country. Leave your people. And if it's not clear enough, leave your father's household. Leave your family. There was a time when June and I, in our early years of mission work, we were just so eager to follow the Lord. Some of us have experienced that in our first year of following God. We're eager. Lord, wherever you take us, we're going to go. We said yes, right? We said yes. But sometimes when God asks, are you really for me? Yes, Lord. Jin, are you really all for me? Yes, Lord. Okay, go. Okay, let me just take something. That's what Abraham did. I'll take something with me. Lot. But right now, as we grow older, and Abraham here is not young. As we grow older, just like a cat and a dog, what do? When they find a corner, they try to squeeze themselves and find a comfortable place to be settling there. And that's what many of us do. And I pray that we will not be settling down for the second best, but that we would be willing to go where God wants us to go, to the very best place that God has for you and me. And I pray for our younger ones, as well as for everyone, where you are right now, listen, is not the best for you. Where you are right now, it's not the best for you. Why do I say that? Because I believe the best place for us is to be right in the center of God's will. And I pray that we would be responding to God that way. When we don't fully follow God, you know what happened to Lot later? This is a spoiler alert. Lot would cause a lot of trouble. His name, after trouble, is a lot of trouble. He would cause a lot of trouble to Abraham. He would cause a lot of trouble with Abraham's people and the descendants after him. So imagine now Abraham having a conversation with his neighbor as he was packing. Oh, so Abraham, you're packing. You're leaving? Yes. You're leaving town, Abraham? Yeah. You're not getting any younger, Abram. Where are you going? I don't know. What? You don't know where you're going? Why are you leaving? Because God says so. Who is this God, Abram? What's his name? I don't know his name. You're leaving everything that you know. All the people that you know, everything that's familiar for you, you're going to a place you don't know where, following a God you don't even know the name. Have you lost your mind, Abraham? Everything within us refrains from following something without us knowing, without us having a proper planning, don't we? I know of a friend this Christmas. A missionary friend, she and her family went to have a vacation. She made a spreadsheet of every single day, what they will do, what they will eat, every place that they would go. Spreadsheet. And some of us can go that far, just going into all the details of what we need to do for a trip. But I believe all of us would want to know something first to see where we're going before we pack, don't we? Lord, could you tell me where we're going? You can imagine Abraham asking, Lord, can you tell me? No, not yet. okay, Lord, can you at least describe the place where we're going? No. Will it always be good with me and my family? No. Lord, is this wise? What would God answer? Yes. Yes. And why would this be wise? Because of God Himself. Because God is the one who spoke. When God says, I will, it will come to pass. Because of that person, I am who I am, Abraham. I am the God who created everything. I am the God who formed you in your mother's womb, Abraham. I am the God who created. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I am Abraham. That's why it makes a lot of sense to follow God. Abraham did not have a complete information of where he's going, but God gave him sufficient information to make a reasonable decision. Can we please open the door? We're getting a little warm here. Thank you. Everything within us refrains from following without a well-thought-of long-range plan. But God has called Abraham, to just follow him and trust. Here's the reason why I believe Abraham followed. Because he had an encounter with God. Because he experienced God in a very real way. Have you? Have you encountered God? Have you experienced God? You say, Pastor Jen, no, I don't hear God. I don't hear God tell me anything. He did not tell me to leave. He did not tell me to do anything. Well, maybe you have not been listening. Because here's the truth. Today, January 17, 2016, God still works. God still speaks. He speaks through His Word. If we don't read it, we don't hear it. God speaks today. And the reason why you and I don't hear God is because we are too busy. We have been so preoccupied with the screens in our faces. We have been so preoccupied with the noises in our world, we don't get to hear God anymore. Friends, Psalm 46 verse 10, perhaps maybe your verse for the year. Be still and know that He is God. He continues to be God today as He was in the time of Abraham. We need to hear God. But when we're so busy fooling around, we cannot hear God. We cannot. Because we are so preoccupied either with our work, with our gaming, with our studies, with our friends, with anything, we have a lot of reasons not to hear God today. But I would encourage you all, may this be the year for us to just be quieting our hearts so that we can listen to God, so that we can hear God say and speak to us, and so we can respond. Is God real to you? Is God at work in your life? It's not that God is not working. It is our ears are closed and our eyes and our hearts as well. As we wrap up, some of you are just so frantic. Pastor, time is almost running. We still don't have answers for the last four at the bottom. So let's come up with some things we can take home with us. Abraham had an O background, right? He was an unlikely choice. He wasn't the top choice. He was not the prime choice. He did nothing, and there was nothing in him to deserve God's favor and to deserve God's choice. And if there was to be one logical reason why God chose Abraham, listen to this, I believe it's his weakness. That is so contrary to the world's standards today. Again, if you and I were the ones hiring, we would choose the person with a lot of strength, not a lot of weakness. But you know what's number one in God's qualification to be used by Him? A person who comes to acknowledge his or her weaknesses. And if you have weaknesses, congratulations. You are qualified to be an Abraham. You're qualified to be used by God. And if I'm not mistaken, as I look at each one of you, just like me, I have my own weaknesses. And you have yours as well. And may these weaknesses be used by God. For when we are weak, we are strong. In fact, Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 1:27, read with me, because this is so contrary to the world's values here. Can we read this aloud? But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. You and I, all of us here, we always want to be seen as wise, smart people. You and I, all of us, want to be considered strong. But God's economy is so upside down. It's so opposite ours. His ways are so much higher than ours. He chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. I strongly believe that Abram's weakness is the reason why God chose him. And here are four of some things that we can take home. First, God's grace shines best on those who are helpless, hopeless, and hell-bound. Let me say that again. It's a mouthful, and there's a lot there. Even on those three alone, that can make them... This can preach. God's grace shines best on the helpless, hopeless, and the hellbound. Who wants to be helpless? No one. We want to be powerful. We want to be in control. No one wants to be helpless. No one wants to be hopeless. If I'm not mistaken, those of you who've been journeying with us, and maybe all of us, none of us like to hear that June has cancer. I don't like it. I don't like that June has cancer. It's been more than 5 years now. I don't like it at all. Do I wish for it to be gone? I'll give anything. I'll give anything for her cancer to be gone. And yet, you know what? Through June's cancer, people have been encouraged. Through June's cancer, people are finding hope. Through June's cancer, people are inspired. I want to share with you J.D. Anna. June had a capping recently. It's a milestone in her studies that there's no more turning back. She finished the most difficult term of their program. Two more to go. One down, two more to go. That's why they had the capping. But J.D. Anna, at one point, said, I cannot do this anymore. I can't continue this. It's so exhaustive. It's so strenuous. It's so stressful. But upon hearing June's case, that June actually has cancer, she said, how can you continue with this? And how can you still beam a smile? And so during the capping, I cannot forget this picture. J.D. Anna came and hugged June. Thank you. It was because of you that I'm still here today. Do I wish for the cancer to be gone? Yes. But when we are weak, we are strong because it's God's strength that empowers us. God's grace shines best when we are powerless, when we lose hope, when we meet a dead end, when we're just hitting a wall, when we don't know what to do anymore, that's when God comes in and he swoops and comes in and takes us and allows us to see, wow, how did this happen? God and God alone. And when we think about hellbound, helpless, hopeless, and hellbound, there are people in our lives today. We think, this person, it's impossible for this person to come and believe Jesus Christ. I don't think this person will ever come to church at all. Friends, Abram was an idol worshiper. he was hell-bound. I, at one point in my life, was hell-bound. Not because I tried to be bad. Not because I tried to do drugs. By God's grace, God spared me from all of this. But you know what? I have my own share. I have my own share that God would really not choose me, Jin Lau, to be pastoring this church at all. At one point in my life, I was just trying. My problem of why I was hellbound is the opposite. I was trying to be good. I was trying to observe all the laws in my religion. I was trying to serve the minister, the priest. I was trying to follow every rule there. But you know what? By following, by being good, I was leading nowhere but hell. You know why? Ephesians 2:8-9. Is it on the screen? Ephesians 2:8-9. If you can remember this. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works. It's not by you being good. It's not by you following every law. Galatians 3, so powerfully, Paul says, are you still following the law? Who has bewitched you? Who has turned your thinking? It's not about observing the law. It's about my grace that saves you, that you are welcome into my kingdom. It's not because you're good. In fact, you know what? Here's the secret. You're not good. You're far worse than you think you are. But the good news is that you are more loved than you can ever be, than you can ever imagine. That is the good news. God's grace shines best. And so when we have people in our lives, when we think that we have done something so awful, when we have a dark past, when we don't like our background, take heart. You're qualifying. Because God qualifies you. In your weakness, God welcomes you. In your powerlessness, God's power is made perfect. And so welcome, God says. You can be an Abraham. And if you have people, loved ones, friends, family, members who are far from God, there is no one too bad for God's grace. There is no one too far for God to reach. God is always good. He always initiates. He always reaches out. So God's grace shines best on those who are helpless, hopeless, and hell-bound. Number two, God blesses us to be a blessing. We did not talk about this so much. We will talk about this next week. But when God promised Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Why? And you will be a blessing. God blesses us to be a blessing. When we meet with God, God will ask you, what did you do with all my blessings? Who did you bless? I bless myself, Lord. What? Why did you bless yourself only? I want to be great. I want to be known, Lord. God blesses us to be a blessing. And so when you receive, listen to this, when you receive a blessing, God intended for that to be given. It's not how much you keep for yourself. Well, you need to determine. This is, in fact, I would encourage you this. It's wise financial planning. Determine what you need. And everything that comes to you, give it. Give it away. When you have an increase in your pay, God calls you to be a blessing. When you receive an allowance more than you need, God gives it to you to be a blessing. When you receive something, God intends for you to be a blessing. We are not catch basins, okay? We're conduits of God's blessing. We're not to just catch it. God, bless me. God, bless me. No. God blesses you to be a blessing. Ultimately, to bless His name. Amen? It is to give glory to God so that He ultimately would be honored, would be blessed. God blesses us to be a blessing. Number three, God's transformational work always involves, this is something you don't like, waiting. God's transformational work, God's best work always involves waiting. We don't like to wait. When there's a line at McDonald's, oh, let's just go to Jack in the Box. Amazon right now promises no need to be patient because they will deliver it with a drone. No waiting. No waiting. We're waiting to be healed. We're waiting for a relationship to be resolved. We're waiting for some needs to be met. We're waiting for something, waiting and waiting. We don't like it. But you know what? When I am forced to wait on God's timing, I change. I change. And I promise you, dear friends, if you will wait on the Lord, you will be changed as well. Lastly, God's transformational work always involves trusting. Now, these two, they're very, very related. Trusting and waiting. The reason why you can wait is because you're trusting. And the reason why you're trusting is because you are waiting on God. If God were to have you leave your comfort zones today, January 17, 2016, if God were to ask you to take on the challenge of the unfamiliar, go to a place I will show you. You won't know it right now. Leave. How will you respond? Abraham was the unlikely choice. I am an unlikely choice. You are an unlikely choice. But God says, leave. I will use you. How would you respond? Let's pray. Lord God, as you call us, may we find strength in you. May we find strength in knowing that you are the God who's always faithful and that you will never change. And that we can trust in you, that in times of our waiting, may we be strengthened by the Spirit. Lord God, help us to leave whatever dark places. Help us to leave whatever things that do not please you right now. Search our hearts, Lord. As we have moments of silence, I'd like to ask the worship team to please come. It's good for us to be still. Because God speaks today as he has spoken to Abraham. God works today as he has worked in the life of Abraham. God still commands us. Leave. Go. Make disciples. If God calls you to follow, will you?